McLean County has an action plan to address the three biggest health concerns in a recent health department report: mental health, access to care, and healthy eating and active living. Assistant Department Director Kathy Coverston Anderson and Advocate Broman's Community Health Director Sally Gambacorta are two members of a committee which oversees the County Community Health Improvement Plan, or CHIP. It involves more than 50 stakeholders from education to law enforcement to social services. Gambacorta tells Eric Stock troubling data prompted that health response. For example, despite improvements, McLean County still ranks poorly for adolescent attempted suicides and binge drinking.
Behavioral health is definitely a concern, and mental health. And we get a lot of input from our community stakeholders as well. And the schools are struggling with students coming to them with mental health issues and thinking about suicide. So through some of the data points and input from, you know, our McLean County Community Health Council and key stakeholders, that, you know, led us to select this again for a health priority. It's the third time it's mental health has been one of the priorities for our plan.
Has there been progress made since it was identified the first time?
Each year we do a progress report, and at the end of 3 years, so we just finished up our previous community health improvement plan, and the number of suicide deaths in our county actually decreased from 22 to 16 from 2015 to 2018. There has been improvement in the number of adults and the number of youth that report alcohol abuse or binge drinking, so that has improved.
Mental health and substance abuse are often related, though they can be separate. How has the county and the health providers addressed that, and are there changes in the way it's being implemented in the coming 3 years?
For the upcoming 3 years, some new interventions that we're going to have is we're going to form a substance use coalition. There have been a couple of different events by the health department or the state's attorney's office, like on opioid use, but we wanted to be all-encompassing of any type of substance use. Vaping has increased. We are going to be forming a substance use coalition. One of the other new initiatives in this plan that was not in the previous community health improvement plan is the formation of a trauma collaborative, which is focusing on adverse childhood experiences that individuals have, you know, such as they were sexually abused or emotionally abused, or they lived in a household with violence or domestic abuse, or a parent who had a mental health issue or was incarcerated. So that has a great impact, as you mentioned, the intersection between mental health and substance use. You know, having a lot of ACEs, there are 10 that are actually identified in this study, and the more ACEs you have, the more likely you are to think about committing suicide or have a substance use problem, as well as having poor health outcomes.
So is this an attempt then to sort of dig deeper and get to the root cause?
Yes, definitely. I mean, adverse childhood experiences and trauma is a root cause across, literally, like I said, health outcomes, substance use, everything. So we have many great initiatives that are happening in our community, but this will help pull a lot of those together. So, you know, we do have a recovery-oriented systems of care committee, and we have Bloomington Normal Parents. So we have a lot of great efforts happening, but this is going to help pull them together and also focus a little bit more on alcohol use, as that tends to fly under the radar and tends to be more socially acceptable than when you're talking opioids and things like that. So we're trying to make sure that all of those issues are addressed.
I guess maybe one difference is it's a legal substance versus something that's not.
Right.
So how might cannabis work its way into that discussion? Is that something that the steering committee has looked at? Because, of course, it's gone from being illegal, though more of a petty offense, versus something that is legal, at least on a minimal level. Is there an expectation that that could change the dynamic over the next few years?
Yes, that is definitely something that the key stakeholders for the Behavioral Health Priority Action Team have talked about, the increase in vaping, the increase in marijuana use. So if perhaps alcohol is decreasing, but these other things are increasing, what effect is that going to have? And you know, there isn't currently a lot of data, since this is relatively new, on marijuana use. So that is definitely something, you know, that we you know, are looking, making sure that we keep our eye on and do include in this substance use coalition.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Sally Gambacorta, who is the Community Health Director of Advocate Broman Medical Center and Advocate Eureka Hospital, and Kathy Corverston Anderson, who is the Assistant Director at the McLean County Health Department. We are reviewing the new McLean County Community Health Improvement Plan that it is going to be rolling out over the next 3 years, identifying mental health as one of three primary concerns. Let's get to the second one, that being access to care. Kathy, if you could walk us through how this has been identified as a need and how the county is going to be, and all of the partners will be, going about addressing it.
One of the things that became very clear during our data analysis of our local, looking at our local emergency room data, was that people were entering the emergency room late in the game with their chronic conditions, whether that's asthma, COPD, diabetes. And if we could just get those individuals into care earlier at a primary medical center, we have a better chance of reducing the number of times they end up in the ER and actually improving their quality of life and health. So one of our objectives in the new health plan is that we want to decrease the number of McLean County residents identifying the emergency department as a choice of medical care. Because one of the things we found in the survey of adults, which included just under 700 adults in McLean County, this was back in 2018, was that in the general population, 3% of the individuals identify the emergency room as their choice of medical care. Whereas in our higher risk populations, 19% identified the emergency room as their choice of care.
Is that because of insurance? Is that because of limited mobility, limited access, combination of multiple factors?
We believe it's probably a combination of multiple factors and wanted to begin to address some of those in this next health plan. So some of the things that the Priority Action Team will be addressing for access to care is supporting those programs already in place or those that are developed in the coming years that support linkages to care, that support identifying individuals who are in the ER, who have not yet had or found a medical home, that we begin to meet with them, linking them to care, and the follow-up needed to assure that they were able to access that care on a regular basis.
We continue on Sound Ideas with Kathy Corverston Anderson and Sally Gambacorta. We are looking at the new McLean County Community Health Improvement Plan, which has just been adopted and is going to be implemented over the next 3 years. We've covered mental health and access to care. And the third seems to be perhaps a broader, perhaps more proactive approach. Healthy living. What all does that entail, Sally?
It sounds just like common sense. We've all heard, you know, since we were young, make sure you eat healthy, make sure you exercise. But this was selected as a priority by the McLean County Community Health Council because it is so broad, and doing these things has such an impact and crosses over with your mental health and your physical health. So they felt that this was a foundational item that we still needed to focus on, as well as very specific parts of healthy eating, active living, such as making sure people have access to healthy food. Can they afford it? Are there convenient places to obtain that food? Or is it a challenge because they need to, you know, there are not a lot of grocery stores near them and they may have to take the bus across town. So it may, you know, with three kids. So we want to decrease, you know, food insecurity as well as increasing access to healthy foods and making sure people do have access to exercising, that they can exercise in a safe, you know, if they do not have a facility to go to, that they feel safe in their neighborhood walking outside, that the sidewalks are in good shape, or that there are, in fact, sidewalks. You know, there are not sidewalks everywhere, which makes it a little bit more challenging.
So if we go back to the food deserts, there are parts of Bloomington Normal that are part of that. There is limited access for some to be able to get to a grocery store, and in some cases, the healthier food. In all cases, the healthier food is more expensive and perhaps out of the price range for some. How does this plan go about addressing that?
There are a lot of different interventions in there. We have the Veggie Oasis, which is through the Tool Library in West Bloomington, which, as you mentioned, a specific part of Bloomington 61701, or the area that's designated as West Bloomington, is designated as a food desert. So the Veggie Oasis focuses on that. There's and that is where vegetables are donated from the farmers after the farmer's market. So they're gleaned, and then they're redistributed at the Tool Library. So that's been a successful program.
Any new programs, any new initiatives along those lines?
We have sent out a request for proposal from our human service organizations who are interested in helping continue to work on decreasing food insecurity or increasing access to healthy food. So there will be another type of program that will focus on that.
And there's also looking at programs that currently exist, to supplement the school weekend backpack programs that are in existence. We want to inventory the programs that we currently do have in the county, but then also look at what's contained inside those, and is there a way to make what's in those healthier for the children and the families that they serve?
So if we take a broader look at all three of these initiatives that the Community Health Improvement Plan is looking to address, mental health, access to care, and healthy living, how will you be measuring success? And what are the data-driven targets that you're aiming for by the end of 2022? Kathy?
We have a lot of different strategies in place, and with each of those, we've identified some process and outcome indicators that we're going to track each year. So as Sally had mentioned earlier, that at the end of each of the 3 years, we'll have an annual report that will list some of the outcomes that are happening in the efforts that we have identified so far. And then at the end of the three-year program, we'll look back at some of the behavioral risk factor data that is available and see if we've made progress and measure the difference in the last few years.
Can you give us examples of a couple of those where you're looking to see improvement and how you're measuring it?
We track, like for behavioral health, for example, we have three evidence-based programs that are currently in the plan, and we're the last time. Mental health first aid, which is for the community to help increase awareness of mental health and help community members recognize signs and symptoms in someone, and then how can they help them? Refer them to the appropriate place. So again, it's that intervening earlier rather than people showing up in the emergency room with a mental health crisis. There's also two wonderful programs that are done in the schools by Project Oz, one of our human service agencies, and that is Too Good for Drugs and Ending the Silence. And those are both done at two different grade levels. There are outcomes associated with that, as well as the number of schools those are offered in, the number of students that are served. And they're also tracking with, like, Ending the Silence, which focuses on suicide prevention for youth. They have implemented making sure that they can connect individual students who say, I need help. They may say, I need help immediately, that they answer on their post-test, or I need help in the near future. And there is a process in place to make sure they are connected right away to those counselors and further support if they need help. So that is a new tracking mechanism that has really helped students a lot, because you don't want to just talk about this. You want to make sure that individuals who voice concerns and say, I need help, that they actually get the help they need.
That was Sally Gambacorta and Kathy Coverston-Anderson with the McLean County Community Health Improvement Plan Steering Committee. They spoke with Eric Stock. Coverston-Anderson says the data in the four-year report is also a community resource. Human service organizations and others can use the data to apply for grants and sharpen their focuses. This is Sound Ideas.